All right, so we're going to go back into the book of Acts. I know it's been a few weeks. I know Denny, I'm not sure where Denny was at. Actually, did you didn't stay in Acts, right?
No.
Okay, all right. So we're going to go back in there. So let's just sort of refresh our memories where we've been. Remember that the book of Acts is Luke's, the second volume of Luke's writings. It is a partner writing to, of course, his gospel. It's sort of part two. Part one is the gospel, the life of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and what that means to the world. And then the book of Acts picks up where Christ, now that he is resurrected, is working through his people and his ministry in their lives, and that leads to their actions, which is called why it's called the book of Acts. And so that's the volume that we're looking at now, volume two, and we're seeing what this meant to those guys from so long ago. Now remember, they're not very far removed from the resurrection. That's very important to keep in mind. We're 2,000 years removed from it, and yet it's still as powerful today as it was then. But for these guys, it was all fresh in their minds. It was fresh in the lives of everyone that they came into contact with. And as always, as Acts moved us forward and we saw God pour his spirit out on through Peter and on his people that day that we call the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, that on that day as the spirit moved on his people, he empowered his people, he enabled his people, and they became what we would be called his assembly, or we call that the church. This is the birth of the church. And as one would expect, the church, which was built on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and by extension the teaching of the apostles, this was despised by the religious of the day. They hated the Savior. They were going to hate his servants. It's just a fact. Jesus had warned them as he warned us. Remember, if they hate you, they hated me first. We got to stop trying to win the approval of the world. It's not going to happen. It's just not. Our role is to do what he's asked us to do, regardless of where we stand on a popularity scale. That's what those guys had to learn. It's what we have to learn. And each time we worry about that, we allow compromise to enter into the church. And compromise will always take the church down and can even oftentimes lead to its demise. This is why churches split. This is why Christianity has such a bad rap. And in the movies, we're made fun of. That's why, because we don't do the things that these guys did, and that's what we're going to see here this morning. So that's Acts chapter 2. Well, as we saw that Peter preached the first sermon there in Acts chapter 2 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the content of his message is what it will be throughout the rest of the book of Acts. It's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the resurrection that is unique to what these guys were teaching, not only to those folks of the day, but to everybody that had taught other things that surround them. Because like us today, they had teachings coming from all different directions, the people of the day. They believed in this, they believed in that, their philosophies, there was the Stoics, we got blah, 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 it just goes on and on. But this Christianity thing that was new, it wasn't called Christianity in those days, by the way, it's called the Way, but they were the ones that were bringing in a new teaching, something that no one had heard, and the resurrection was the thing that identified it as being unique. And of course, to teach the resurrection, making it unique, is the thing that was going to make the religious hate it, because it becomes an issue now, not of tradition or of ceremony, but of faith. And that's the idea that is going on here. So in Peter's sermon in chapter 2, and then we saw it again in chapter 3, and then we touched on it as we began chapter 4. And remember that the Peter's message there in chapter 4 was all based on the fact that day him and John had seen the lame man. Remember that? And they had said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we'll give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise. And we saw how that man stuck with them as he leapt for joy at being healed and went into the temple probably for the first time in his life. We know that he was 40 years old and that he jumped up and he went in there and he was still hanging with them when the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders of the day came and confronted Peter, James, and John. And they took them into custody and they began to challenge them. And remember, the big issue is as the authorities, as the ones who hold the right to question and to critique anybody that might, sort of bring something other than what we're teaching, they believed that they had this authority, this God-given right, this God-given authority, because they were the only ones that had this understanding. And so they challenged these guys. And what name are you doing these things as the guy is standing there? And we know Peter, as he always does, he brings up and shares with them the fact that the reason this man is standing here, because of Jesus Christ. You remember him. He's the one you guys crucified. He's the one you guys put on the cross. He's the one that God has lifted up and has given him a name that is far above all other names. And they were, so remember, then they held off overnight and they came back the next day and they said, well, we can't deny what the miracle that's happened. The dude was standing right in front of us. Now, it doesn't say dude, but you get the idea. That's, and they said, so we can't deny this, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to warn them harshly. We'll use severe language. You cannot teach in this name any longer. They would never say the name Jesus. Just couldn't get themselves to do so. So this is what happens. And then they released them. Remember? And that's where we pick up here today. Okay? So this is what has led us now to verse 23 of chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David hath said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So all of a sudden, what has happened here is what should always happen. There has been this challenge to their faith as the supposed authority that's over them has told them what they can't do. There's been this challenge, and the thing that they do is they go back to the fellowship of believers and they lift their voices in one accord to their God. They go to pray. But wouldn't it be nice if we saw that today? That instead of everybody whining and whimpering about how bad the government is treating the church, you guys heard this now this week now in Texas now, they're starting to require the pastors there to turn over their sermon notes in case there's something in there that they're not supposed to be saying, you know, about other religions or the marriage stuff and homosexuality. So now you got to turn over your sermon notes. This is what's going on. Yes, ma'am?
They are fighting back.
Yeah, fighting back, yeah. I don't think they're going to, it's not going to happen. But that's what they're trying to do. Yeah, it is. That's exactly right. That's the point. So here's the thing. See, we would in this day, let's just give them what they want. And it's like, no. Isn't none of their dang business what we're teaching here? Because we're teaching this. If they want to know what we're teaching, they should come to church. Starts at 9 o'clock. Right? I mean, think about it. You want the sermon notes. If you really want to do this, why don't you go to the church? You know? Oh, no, they won't do that. You see, but this is what's going on. But the point is that this is how, for the past, the church has reacted to this. But these guys, no. They came back together and immediately they lifted their voice in one accord to the one they knew that could control the whole situation, or actually that was in control of the situation. Now you guys know me well enough to know one of the things that I absolutely love about the scripture is when it speaks about who God is as creator, that he is omniscient, he knows all things, that he's all powerful. There's not even anyone close. This is not a battle between God and Satan. Please. As if God has an equal, Satan's God's equal. Please. No, we can whoop Satan through prayer. I think God can handle him, don't you? But I love that. And this idea that he creates and that the whole universe is held together simply by his word. I love this concept. So what's happening in these verses following what we just read is a conflict in authority. There were those who, by their religion, by their beliefs, their traditions, their ceremonies, believed that they had the right to make these demands, to make these statements, and to put out these expectations. And so immediately as these guys come back and they report, look at verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions. They went back to their brothers and their sisters. Now we know at this point that there's over 5,000 just men. So the faith was expanding incredibly fast at this point. And they went back to those people, their companions, the fellowship of their believers, of the brothers and the sisters. And they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And I love this. Instead of going like we would do, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're just going to have to start not using the word, homosexuality. We can't stop using the word this. We got to... Is that what they did? No. That's not what they did. They immediately said, and they when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. I love that. They did not remain silent, and they certainly were not fearful. This intimidation that was supposed to have taken place really just sort of initiates a movement greater in the faith than the one that these guys tried to stop. That's the amazing thing. As we move through the story, you'll see that. That's what's going to be the prayer of these guys. So they raised their voice to God with one accord. Now this one accord, we started with this back. This is the fourth of 11 times it appears in the book of Acts. It means that they were in absolute agreement. That they had their hearts and their thoughts where they needed to be. And it was not on the apostles, and it was not on any other person, nor in add 2,000 years to that. It wasn't on any denomination, it wasn't on any church, and it wasn't on any religious leader. It was to God. And they went collectively with one accord, and they said, Lord. Now this is an interesting word here. Because usually when you see this word in the Greek, it's the Greek word kurios, which means Lord or master. This is not. This is the word despotoi. We get the word despot from this. So what they're saying, and this is the word that was used in those days for someone who had absolute power and absolute authority. Isn't that interesting? They didn't just use the term Lord, which would have been powerful enough by good grief. No, no, they used the word and they said, you who have absolute power and authority in heaven and earth, that's what this rest of this is about creation. You're the one that we're coming to. Who is he? Well, you are the God, Theos, or Elohim in the Old Testament, the Almighty. So you're not just the absolute authority, you're also the Almighty. Because you see, you can't have absolute power unless you're the Almighty. Right? And we've studied this for so often, and it's so important here because this is why this prayer of these people this day, you guys hear me use this all the time, and the reason is because it puts it back, it puts everything in perspective. What they're talking about here is God and the concept of creation, God as creator. Now we know that this is a big issue in our day, and the church, as I said earlier, has compromised, as it always does in the day. And has bought into this scientific stuff. It's just nuts to me. Now, there's nothing wrong with science. Don't get me wrong. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But anyway, it has bought into this. But what these guys are saying, you are God who made heaven and earth. So in this prayer back to God, now this is in the Greek language, but they're immediately going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created. God bara. We've talked about this in our Hebrew classes as well as in our on our Wednesday nights. Bara, to create. It does not mean to take something and to make it and shape it and mold it. That's why the physical aspect of Adam was not created. Okay? Bara means to bring something into existence that didn't exist before. In the beginning, God created. What did he create? The heavens, Shamayim. He creates the heavens. All that we understand is the universe. God speaks this into existence. Because remember, it didn't exist before. He created the heavens and he created the earth. Now, if you want to put that in scientific terms, because science, true science, always agrees with the scripture, what you've got is God speaking into existence space, mass, and time. That's exactly what's happening there when God does this. That's why it's all just a jumbled mess until God begins to work on it and forms it into the earth. And all of this. And that's what they're saying here. You see, they've just been given testimony of what the religious authority of the day has said, as if they are in any position to make a discerning judgment on who should speak in what name. So what they do is they appeal right back to the one with absolute authority, to the only one that can bring something into existence that does not exist, God. You see, their case now is being pleaded to the one who is the authority. The authority doesn't sit in the Sanhedrin. The authority doesn't sit in Rome. And it doesn't sit in Utah. It doesn't sit in Medina or Mecca. It doesn't sit in Jerusalem. It's in heaven. Thank God for that, huh? And it doesn't sit with a big Calvary in California either. That's not what it's talking about. So when they heard this, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Everything that exists, exists by and because of you. You're the authority. We've heard the testimony, and we're appealing to the one who was greater than anyone. So it's not just enough that, you see, in their, whether they know it or not, I don't know, whether, because this is a, you know, it's a heart plea or heart prayer here that's going on. But notice what's happened. In that first part, this is all referencing back to what they would call the Torah. The first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. But look at what's the next one. Who by the mouth of your servant David said, moving from the law and the prophets. There's the testimony of the law in who you are as God, and not only from the law, but from the prophets and the writings. David, who by the mouth of your servant David had said that this is exactly what was going to happen. And I've said this so many times in the past, if we would get to the point where we understand that what's happening in our world is exactly what God said was going to happen in our world, we would find life a lot better. None of this stuff should take us by surprise. ISIS should not take us by surprise. This is what religion does. It has always done it and always will do it, right? And our goofy government, we're falling for the faint there in Syria, and all the while it's Baghdad they're going after, and you watch. They're going to go in there into the green zone. That's what this is all. It's all to get us focused on Syria, and then they're going to go after Baghdad. Get into the green zone and get our embassy. That's what they're after. Watch. How is it Ebola? That's kind of scary stuff, isn't it? Oh, so many people have died of Ebola. How many people died of AIDS in the same period of time in Africa? Whoa, it's not as significant as we're being led to believe, is it? Now, it is, don't misunderstand, please. You know, let's not all run down and say, oh, well, you know, we just want to go right. No, it's very serious. It's deadly. But let's put it into perspective here. Okay, I mean, there are more people that died in that same period of time from AIDS and from malaria and from dengue fever and from all of the other stuff in those same countries during that period of time. They're astronomical numbers. So as bad as it is, you got to keep the right perspective. Yes, there should be fear. Obviously, for something like that, there should be fear. And the thing I'm watching this, I'm thinking, man, and there's more of that coming. Because the Lord said, hey, this is what the world gets. This is, you want the world, you want to run the world by yourself? Then he let man have it, and this is the result. And as bad as this is, there's a lot worse coming down the pike. It's absolutely amazing. But we're going to see that God is sovereign over all of this, and he knows what's going on. So by the mouth of your servant David, you said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? In other words, God knew all along that this is precisely what's going to happen. Well, how did he know that? Because they rejected the prophets the whole time. Remember Jesus teaching in Luke? Talking about these, and they would always bring up the prophets, and Jesus actually said, wait a second, you guys are honoring prophets that your own fathers killed, because he didn't want to hear what they had to say. This is why they called them whitewashed tombs and hypocrites and brood of vipers. This is why he called them that. And so the nations here rage, and the people plot vain things. Okay? So notice what's happening is that these guys in their prey are starting to identify the religious leadership, which is opposed now, everything that they've been doing. What he's doing is he's equating those leaders with the rest of the world. They're no different than the rest of the world not listening to the teachings of God. Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? They made all their plots and their plans, and it's all void. This is actually out of Psalm chapter 2, which is clearly messianic. Okay, it was about the Messiah. The only people that claimed to be the ones that understood these traditions and taught these things. There they were, the words were, and they rejected the very things that God had told them were going to happen. So this is what they're saying. Your authority was established in the Torah. Your authority was established in the prophets and the Psalms. The kings of the earth took their stand. Now, this is an incredible phrase here. They took their stand. This literally means to stand with the jaw extended, or in other words, to stand in defiance. They are standing in the face of God saying, we don't want to hear anything that you have to say. Oh, how could that be? Read Book of Revelation. See what happens. During the 70th week, when wrath is clearly being poured out on the earth. Remember, the 70th week is not about persecution. Stop thinking that way. It's wrath. There are seven seals of wrath. There are seven trumpets of wrath. There are seven bowls of wrath. It's wrath that is at focus there. And when all of this stuff is going on, the people of the world that are under this wrath of God, God has given them the authority to do what they wanted to do, and now he's going to say, no more. And they recognize that it's coming from him. And we read there that they cursed him and would not believe. They would not repent of the things. They were gathered together. They took their stand. Stand in defiance. How is it Lucifer could stand in defiance of God? Well, because he thinks he's got a right to voice his opinion. So the kings of the earth took their stand in defiance against the Lord. Now notice, remember, they're equating the religious leaders of Israel with these people. Okay? That's not a good thing to say about your religious leaders, but this is what it had led to. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. Now there, the word Lord is kurios, okay? And the Christ here would be the equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah. So what they're saying is that these people have stood against Yahweh and they have stood against Messiah. He's equating the religious, they're equating the religious leaders with the people that do this. Now this is a prayer, folks, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? We always, when something, I don't, sometimes we just want to dance around prayer. You know, no, I pray for the sunshine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when was the last time that we were shaken to the core by the world that's around us and we went to our God and we said, you who were the great one, you who were the absolute one, you, the ones that nobody can speak with, and we're going to see what they're going to ask for this is boldness. You give us the strength that we need to be the people that you want us to be. That's awesome. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. He was your choice. Notice the name Jesus. Remember what happened with these guys? By what name are you doing this? They would never talk about the name of Jesus. The people had perceived that they had been with Jesus, yes. And the religious said that, but they would never vocalize that name. But these guys, oh, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Now notice, the very one that you anointed, the one that the nations have stood against in defiance, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Birds of a feather flock together. That's what they're saying. That everybody, that the nations represented there, that the Jews themselves, and that the leaders of the two nations of Rome and Israel at that point in time, they were all gathered together to stand in defiance of who God is. For truly against your holy servant, look at, you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Notice, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, does that mean God made these nations do this? Does it mean that God made Judas betray Jesus? No, they had a choice. Remember Jesus wept over Jerusalem, saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times have I wanted to bring you under my arms, but you would not? There's a choice. The determination, the predestined will of God, the purpose and the plan of God is that God would fulfill the process or his plan, I should say, of redemption. But there were going to be those that would stand against it as opposed. That's all he's saying here. You didn't have to oppose this. Remember, there were many of the religious leaders that didn't stand with those that stood opposed to him. One by the name of Nicodemus. It appears that maybe Gamaliel, obviously one of the other leaders, was probably became a believer, certainly Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the beloved Paul. So it isn't that God determined that these were going to be the bad guys and they were going to do this and then God's going to squash them like a bug because they were bad guys. They were bad guys because they chose. Remember Jesus said, if you would just receive me, the kingdom would become yours. But they didn't. They rejected him because they didn't want him as the king. Verse 29, now look on their hearts. Notice that it's all been upward in the prayer. It's all been upward, but now it's going outward. Now look on their heart, on their, look on their threats. Their threats. You know what they're saying. And grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. You know what we'd have prayed? Well, Lord, protect us from those that would come against us. Shield us against the bad people that would throw us in jail for our belief system, that would take prayer away from us. That's what we would do. But these guys, no. We're not asking to be sheltered. We're not asking to be hidden. We're asking you to give us the boldness that we need to go right back out there and do the very thing that these people are telling us not to do. Because it's truth. And the interesting, notice what's happened here. Look on their threats and grant your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word. Notice verse 30 now. What was the boldness they were asking for? What had caused all of this to begin with? Those guys being taken into custody. What had happened? By stretching out your hand to heal. Oh. They recognized that the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of that resurrection had restored this fella to life. This is what brought them before the leadership, who told them, even though they couldn't deny this thing, to not speak the name. And they're saying, we want to continue to do that, Lord, because there are more people out there to be healed. And through that healing, people will respond to the gospel. Use us to heal. Because it was much more than a physical healing that took place on that man. We talked about that when we were there, remember? His ankles, we said he couldn't stand, he couldn't do anything. And he's right outside the gate, couldn't get into the temple. Nobody would take him in there. Couldn't go in there anyway because he had problems. He was deformed, so he couldn't go in there. And these guys come by and they extend this faith to him and they lift him up. And for the first time, it's not the healing of his ankles. It's the healing of his heart. The inner man that leaps with joy, praising God. Not Peter, not John. Not anybody else, praising God, and for the first time he took hold of both those dudes' hands, Peter and John, and he walks into the temple with them. You see, the healing for that man was only partially physical, but it was greatly spiritual. It was a changed heart. That's what they're asking for. Give us the boldness. And show this by stretching out your hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We want people to recognize just what Peter and John said. I don't have any gold or silver. I don't got a cent in my pocket, dude. But I tell you what I do have. I have eternal life. And if you're interested, I'll give you that which is far more valuable than in anything that's in anybody's pockets. When's the last time you said that to a homeless person? They kind of irritate us, don't we? Yeah, we'd just rather be left alone. First thing I think is do what everybody else does. I go into my pockets. I know I don't got any cash. I never have cash. Marie always has the cash. She won't let me carry it. No, I'm just kidding. But you always do that. It's like, dude, I'd help you out, man. He's like, yeah, I know. You don't have any cash. It's like, well, sorry. Of course, we have our bags back there. You can do that now, too. But this is what they're asking for. When we see those people, listen, I don't have any of these things. But let me tell you what I do got. That's what they're asking, for boldness to do this in spite of the religious saying, don't even think about going out there and talking in this dude's name anymore. Don't ever go out there and say that this is happening in your Jesus' name, though they would never say that. That's what they were telling them. Well, you can't speak about those things in your pulpit, Pastor Rick, because it might offend someone. Yeah, well, this thing offends me all the time because I'm a doofus. I mean, if this offends you, good. Truth hurts. That's why people don't want to hear it. That's why we gather people, as Paul told Timothy, that want to tickle our ears. Oh, don't tell us the truth, man. The truth isn't good. And all these messages out there about how good things can be and how wonderful things are. How about you're going to die and go to hell unless you change your lifestyle and ask the Lord to provide for you the pardon that was available to all on the cross? How about that message? How many people you think would come to hear that? Yeah, crowds would dwindle quite a bit, wouldn't they? Book sales, not so good. Yeah, promotional videos, nah. You see, truth hurts because truth is truth and it will not jeopardize itself regardless of anyone's opinion of it. That's what I love about the truth. It doesn't care what I think about it. Doesn't care what you think about it. Doesn't care what anybody thinks about it. Truth is truth. It's as simple as that. So give us this boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal. The signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant. They're not wanting to do these things so that everybody can say, oh, here comes those people that bring all this healing and feed all the 1,000 hungry people. That's not why they're asking this. They knew what had happened with this guy. And they're saying that, Lord, that's what we want to do. Give us the right and the ability, the power, the authority to do that because of your son. Nobody's taking any credit for this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Well, there's an answer to prayer. Can you imagine this type of prayer? Oh, it was only for that day, we're told. Yeah. And this was only for the apostles, these gifts and this power. It was only delivered to the apostles because it was all new. Oh, bunky hunky. The same spirit that moved on those guys 2,000 years ago is alive in his church. We just have forgotten about it. If this was our prayer, this place would shake. It would. Can you imagine what that must have been like? They've opened their hearts to their God in unison because of all these things. They put their faith back in the only person that can accomplish anything that they've asked. And the Lord says, yeah, and just shakes the place. How cool is that? Whoa, what if our prayer times together as a fellowship in unity could cause the building to shake? Bet you the city'd wake up a bit, don't you think? I think a gas line erupted underneath us or something. Foundations unsettled, you know, whatever. But man, there is an answer to prayer. And isn't it interesting that it didn't come with words out of heaven? Well done, good and faithful servant. So that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to hear that too. This is my beloved son. No, the Holy Spirit just moves in such power on this place that it quakes to its very foundation. And notice what happened, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we're talking thousands here, remember this. Well, I thought they'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit. They were in the sense of salvation, but now here, they're once again, there's a fresh filling, there's this empowerment to go out and do what they've asked to do. Because their dependency is on the Spirit of God. They do not have the power or the whatever it takes to go out there and do what they'd ask. They understood that. God said, this is what you want. This is what I will give. And he sends his Spirit in there to do this incredible work. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice this. They weren't running around doing a bunch of loopy stuff. Okay? I'm not making fun. But there's a lot of times when the Spirit comes in, we battle this, I told you, in Belize. We fought with this over and over and over again, this new stuff that was coming out. And God's Spirit would speak from heaven, and everybody would fall down on the ground, and everybody would start mooing like cows and barking like dogs. You've been in a church service like that? It's a bit frightening. I went to parties in my BC days. They weren't that bad. I'm telling you, man. And there's a lot of illegal things being passed around there. But in these services, people standing next to you going, I'm trying not to be funny. Bah. And you're just going. This is what happened. You see, everybody wants this massive display of the Spirit of God. This is the problem with this hypercharisma. The focuses, the emphasis becomes the gift, not the giver. There's a problem with that. When experience takes precedence over exposition of God's word, there's a problem. And when everybody wants to see these things as if it's some identification, that this is the verification of God's power at movement within your midst. I thought the indication of God's power moving within your midst was when two or three were gathered and studying this. Do we really need to start mooing? Do we need to start seeing stuff falling out of heaven? Really? I used to see that stuff, Pink Floyd concerts. They used to do all that stuff, right? It used to come out of the sky. You see what's happening? No, no, no. This Holy Spirit moved on them, and notice what they do. They spoke the word of God with boldness. This empowerment, what it did was cause them to just go boom with the truth. There it is. Deal with it. I love that. Nothing else. Nothing fancy, nothing flowery, just the plain, unadulterated truth, empowered by God's Spirit. You see, that is what will bring people to their knees before the great God of the world that we just read about. Not some display of some miraculous ability to heal. Wonderful? Yes, absolutely. The ability to speak a language that you don't have a clue what this language is. Yes, absolutely. The ability to be able to discern things. That's scary. People have that gift, huh? Marie has that gift. I can tell you right now, she's going to know while she's gone what I'm doing at home and what I'm eating. And I can assure you that she knows it isn't salad. Discernment. This gift of discernment. The gift of wisdom. I mean, of the knowledge. I mean, we could just go on and on. Wonderful, wonderful things. As good as those are. But they're for the body of Christ. What these people were asking for was the empowerment to speak the truth to the lost. To those people out there who didn't understand the truth. Lord, give us the power to proclaim your word and bring this healing. Physical, yes, but spiritual mostly. And God said, I'll do that. And he empowers them. And the word of God just flows from them. Wow. So much that the place was shaken. Okay? We're going to stop there. I actually messed up my slide here. Sorry about that.